Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So back when we were living up in Fort Worth, there was a man in our church whose house was broken into one day while he was at work. And the burglars, they ran through the house looking for any valuables that they could take before making their getaway. And one of the things that they took with them was a cell phone that for whatever reason had been left at home that day. So naturally, the man in our church, he called the police and they began their investigation and they had an idea. The cell phone that was taken was actually an iPhone. And so they got on one of his other Apple devices so that they could track its location. Now, initially, the phone was turned off, but as soon as the thieves turned the phone on, immediately it revealed their location. Because even when our phones are not in use, as long as they're turned on, they are constantly pinging cell towers and satellites. The connection with these satellites is an ongoing thing. And so the police, they were able to go to the exact location of the criminals, and they were able to recover the stolen property and arrest the bad guys. Technology saved the day. So, since the start of this year here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we've been focusing on and talking really about one word. That word is faithful. Being reminded that God has called us to be a faithful people in all things at all times until it's all over. And so as we think about following Christ with faithfulness, and another way to say this would be, following Christ is not something that we turn on and off. Following Christ is ongoing. Let me say that again. Following Christ is not something that we turn on and off. Following Christ is ongoing. In other words, if we've given our lives to Christ, then just as our cell phones are constantly pinging, constantly connected to these satellites, as Christ followers, we are constantly connected to Christ. And so no matter what our location, no matter where we find ourselves in this life, because of this constant connection, we both desire to and we are able to walk in faithfulness to the Lord. Following Christ is not something we turn on and off. Following Christ is ongoing. So this morning we're launching into a new series titled Walk the Walk. And as we go through this series, we're going to be walking through the book of James. Now, as we think about that phrase, walk the walk, that comes from a longer phrase that you're probably familiar with as well. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. That actually comes from an even older phrase, which says talk is cheap. Now, while talk may be cheap, I will say that talking is what I get paid to do. So for me, there is at least some value in talking. But the reality is what you desire from me as your pastor is not for me to just talk the talk on Sundays and then live a life completely contrary to what I'm standing up here and saying on Sunday mornings, right? It wouldn't matter how great my sermons were if you found out that I was living the life of a complete heathen every other day of the week, right? You desire from me as your pastor not just to walk the walk, but to walk the walk. Because how I live gives credibility to what I say I believe. So let me pause right here and say this. Church, how you live gives credibility to what you say you believe. How you live gives credibility to what you say you believe. Walking the walk is not simply something that I'm called to do as your pastor, but walking the walk is something that every single one of us is called to do as Christ followers. We are not called to just simply talk the talk because talk is cheap. We are called to walk the walk. So this morning, we're going to look at James chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. James chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 18 this morning. James 1, 1 through 18. And as you're turning there, I want to set this up for you. What we're going to see in verse 1 of James chapter 1 is James's introduction of himself. We typically see this at the start of the letters in the New Testament where the author identifies themselves. And so in James chapter 1, verse 1, James says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's interesting about James is that James is actually the half-brother of Jesus, which would be a pretty interesting claim to note, a worthy claim to note, because as humans, we like to tell people when we know someone famous or when we know someone that's a pretty well-known person. In fact, there's a more contemporary worship artist by the name of Carrie Jobe. Some of y'all may know that name, Carrie Jobe. Since 2009, she's released 14 albums. She's even been nominated for a Grammy, so I would say she's a pretty well-known artist at this point. Some of y'all know this about me already, but I actually went to college with Carrie Jobe for a couple of years before she transferred to another school. And when I was a freshman in college, I worked in the campus library, and she actually came and checked out a book from me. And I like to believe that that one book is what made her who she is today. It was a powerful book. So as humans, we like to be able to say that we're connected to famous or well-known people. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He literally could have started this letter out by saying, you know the guy that died and rose again, the one that we call Lord? Yeah, that's my brother. I'm related to Jesus. But that's not what James does here. Instead, he introduces himself at the start of this letter as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what this should tell us is that the most important identity we have in this life is found in our service and in our submission to Jesus as our Lord. The most important identity that we have in this life is found in our service and in our submission to Jesus as our Lord. James could have said that he was the half-brother of Jesus. But James understood that there was a greater identity that he had, not simply in knowing Jesus as his brother, but James had a greater identity in knowing Jesus as his Lord. You know, knowing Jesus as his brother, that was merely an earthly identity, a temporary identity. But knowing Jesus as his Lord was an eternal identity. And this eternal identity was an identity that was far greater. And so I would encourage you today, don't settle for an earthly identity when there is a greater identity to be had. Don't settle for an earthly identity when there is a greater identity to be had. It's easy for us to find our identities in this life, in our jobs, in our accolades, in our sports, in who we know. Here's a big one in our culture today, in our gender and in our sexuality. And yet all of these identities are earthly identities. All of these identities are temporary identities, and yet we chase after these identities. We pursue these identities with everything that we have within us, believing that somehow these identities are going to give us some type of value or worth. But at the end of the day, there's only one identity that matters eternally for us. And that is in the identity that we find in our service and in our submission to Jesus as our Lord. So don't settle for an earthly identity when there is a greater identity to be had. Now, before I move on from this point, I think it's worthy for me to ask, do you know Jesus as your Lord today? Have you submitted your life to Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Lord? Because if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, then all you are left with are these earthly temporary identities. And so I would say to you today, there is still a greater identity to be had. Turn from the things of this world. Turn from the identities of this world. Turn to Jesus, submit to Jesus, and begin finding your identity in him and in him alone. So James identifies himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says that he's writing to the 12 tribes that are dispersed abroad. And these 12 tribes that are dispersed abroad, when we see that in Scripture, that's referring to the 12 tribes of Israel or the 12 Jewish tribes. And so when we see the 12 tribes, they're referenced, what that typically means is the fullness of the Jews. But following Christ's resurrection, what was happening was there was a growing presence of Christians among the Jews. Jews were giving their lives to Christ. Jews were beginning to follow Christ as their Lord. And so as James uses this the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, what he's saying here is not simply the fullness of Jews. What he's saying is the fullness of believers. All those who have come to know Christ as their Lord. All those who would also say that they are servants of Christ, followers of Christ. He's saying, this letter is for you. And so just as James wrote this letter to all believers at that time, James also writes this letter to all believers today. And so if you're here today and you would say that you are a Christ follower, then this letter is for you today. So with that in mind, let's read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of humble circumstances boast in his exaltation, but let the rich boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. For the sun rises and together with the scorching wind dries up the grass. Its flower falls off and its beautiful appearance perishes. In the same way, the rich person will wither away while pursuing his activities. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I'm being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. By his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what we see James say there beginning in the middle of verse 2. He says, whenever you experience various trials. A couple of words that I want you to see there. First, James uses the word whenever. James begins this letter with the understanding that following Christ does not exempt us from experiencing trials in this world. Following Christ does not exempt us from going through difficulties. In fact, James doesn't say, if you experience trials. James says, whenever you experience various trials. There is an understanding that even for Christ's followers, who he's writing to, there is an understanding and an expectation that we will experience trials in this life. Now, while we may say that we understand this, I think the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, I think many times we would believe that if we are Christ followers and if we are walking with Christ, following Christ obediently and consistently, maybe even at a more basic level, if we're just a good person, we might think, man, I shouldn't be experiencing these trials, or I won't experience these trials. But the reality is as long as we are living in this fallen and broken world, and until we are able to stand in that perfect place before our perfect God, we are going to experience trials. We are going to experience difficulties in this life. It's not really a matter of if we are going to experience trials. It's really only a matter of when we are going to experience trials. So we see that word whenever there. The second word I want you to see there is that word various. James says, whenever you experience various trials. Well, what trials is James talking about here? What trials are we going to experience? Now, some translations you might be reading out of may use the word temptation instead of trials, but that word that's translated there as trials meant afflictions, it meant persecution, and it meant any other type of trial or difficulty that we could face in this life. And so as James says, whenever you face various kinds of trials, whenever you experience various kinds of trials, what types of trials are we going to experience? Many different kinds of trials. We might experience persecution in this world because of our faith. That's one type of trial. We might be afflicted with pain, with illness, with disease at times. That's another type of trial that we go through. Or we might just experience the various difficulties of this life that might come at us from a day-to-day basis. James doesn't mention just one type of trial. He says, whenever you experience various trials. There's a plethora of trials that we might face in this life. And if you're here today and you would say that you are currently facing a trial, then this message is for you. Because James doesn't tell us that we won't experience trials. Rather, in this chapter, what he tells us is how we are to live in the midst of facing these trials, whenever we experience these various trials. So as we look at this passage this morning, there are three things that we see here that I want to point out for you, three things that we are to do when we face various trials. First, we are called to practice joy. We are called to practice joy. Let's read the entirety of verse 2 now. James said, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. When we face trials, we are called to practice joy. Now, we don't see this in the English language, but if we look at what James says there at the end of verse 1, James says the word greetings. Well, that word greetings in Greek, it's the same word that we saw Jesus say last week after he rose from the grave. He said to the two women, greetings. It's the same thing that he said. It is a cheerful greeting. And then he uses this word joy, as he says, considered a great joy. And in Greek, that word joy and this cheerful greeting that James uses come from the exact same Greek root word. And so what James is doing here as he says greetings and then as he says consider it a great joy, he's really doing a word play here with these two words. And so what the original readers would have understood when they looked at this text, they would have understood James to be saying, we are to greet our trials with joy. We are to greet our trials with joy. Now when it comes to greeting people, greeting people is something I like to do with joy, right? When you're walking in on Sunday morning, I like standing back there at the back of the room and greeting you with joy as you walk in. I like walking around and shaking your hand, hugging your neck, letting you know how glad that I am that you're here, because I truly am. I'm so glad to see you here. And my prayer is that as you greet one another, that you also greet one another with joy. But when it comes to greeting our trials with joy, man, that's much more difficult to do because we know that our trials can be hard sometimes. Our trials can be painful sometimes. And so it's hard for us to greet our trials with joy. But James gives us the reason here that we should greet our trials with joy. He says, "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." Now, some translations may say that it produces patience, but that word that's translated there as patience or endurance, it doesn't simply mean passively waiting for something. It's an active endurance, like a runner running a marathon who patiently endures, actively endures to the end of that race. And so the image that we have here as we think about these trials testing our faith and producing endurance and maturity is similar to an athlete building muscles. You know, the only way for our muscles to get bigger and the only way for our muscles to get stronger is for our muscles to come up against some type of resistance. In other words, if we're going to get bigger and stronger muscles, then we have to lift weights, something that I clearly have never done, right? And I'm perfectly happy with the way my muscles are, right? But when we experience trials in this life, it's like our faith is coming up against resistance. It's like our faith is lifting weights. And when we stand firm in our faith, when we allow these trials to do their job producing resistance for our faith, what happens is our faith is strengthened. And we actually come out on the other side of that trial with a stronger faith than we would have had we never gone through that trial to begin with. And so as we think about what these trials can do in our life, as we think about the growth and the maturity that these trials can produce in our faith, if we understand that, then it can help us to begin to greet these trials with joy. So when we face trials, we are called to practice joy. Second, we are called to ask for wisdom. Let's read verse 5 again. It says, "Now if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him." When we face trials, we are called to ask for wisdom. So one thing that a trial might do is it might reveal a lack of wisdom in our life. Now, not a lack of intelligence, but a lack of wisdom, right? We might face a trial. We might come up to some situation. We say, man, I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't know what decision I should make here. You know, when I got my first job in the business world, after I graduated from college, as I began to have to make some hard decisions, sometimes I felt like I was just pretending to be an adult. Anybody else feel like you're just pretending to be an adult sometimes, right? I think that sometimes when we face trials, we still feel like we're just pretending to be an adult, and we need a more adultier adult than us to come alongside us to help make these decisions for us, to help us face these trials. And so James says, if you're facing a trial, I want you to know that if you're lacking wisdom, you have someone to turn to. You are not alone, because you can turn to God and you can ask him for wisdom, and he will give you the wisdom that you need. So when my sister was in high school, there was a class that she was struggling in. Now, my sister, she was actually a very studious person. I remember all growing up, walking past her bedroom, she was always sitting on her bed, always had her books open, always studying. Very studious person. But but there was a class, a subject that she was just struggling to grasp. And I remember my dad saying to her one day, pray and ask God to help you to understand this subject because he is Lord over this subject. And so that's something that my sister began to do. She began to ask God to help her to understand this class, to help her to understand this subject. And she actually did. She began to understand it. And of course, she continued studying as well, but she began to understand it. And she passed that class. She actually went on to be the valedictorian of our high school. And so as we think about this, I want you to know God possesses the wisdom that you need to face that trial, to endure that trial, and to mature through that trial because he is Lord over that trial. Let me say that again. God possesses the wisdom that you need to face that trial, to endure that trial, and to mature through that trial because he is Lord over that trial. And because he is Lord over that trial, you can ask him for wisdom, and he's going to give you exactly what you need, unsparingly and ungrudgingly. So when we face trials, we're called to practice joy. We're called to ask for wisdom. Finally, this morning, we are called to focus on eternity. Let's read verses 9 and 10 again. It says, let the brother of humble circumstances boast in his exaltation, but let the rich boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field. When we face trials, we are called to focus on eternity. So James is giving us two contrasting images here. We see the one of humble circumstances, someone that doesn't have much, and we have the rich person or someone that has a lot in this world. Two people with two very different earthly standings, one with a little, one with a lot. And to both, James says that their focus needs to be on the same place, on eternity. He gives us a reminder that the one with a little in this life, he should focus on eternity because one day he's going to have something far greater than earthly riches. He's going to be able to stand in God's presence and experience the eternal glory of God forever. But to the one who has a lot in this life, he says, don't get wrapped up in the earthly things that you have right now, because all of those things are going to pass away one day. And so regardless of where you find yourself in this life, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, whether you're somewhere in between, our focus has to be on the same place. Our focus must be on eternity. Now, understanding that this is in the context of facing trials in this life, we have this important reminder that our trials are only temporary. Our trials are only temporary. Even if we face these trials for the entirety of our life, there will come a day that our trials will pass away, and we get to stand in the presence of Christ, and we get to rejoice in, we get to celebrate the freedom and the joy of being in his presence for all eternity. Our trials are only temporary. And so we have this call that no matter where we are in this life, no matter what we're going through, to take our eyes off of our trials and to focus our eyes on Jesus Christ, to focus our eyes on eternity. Listen, it's not really an issue of if we're going to face trials in this life. It's really only an issue of when we're going to face trials in this life. So what do we do when we face these trials? How do we walk the walk? We're called to practice joy. We're called to ask for wisdom, and we are called to focus on eternity. But you know, before you can begin walking the walk, first you need to begin the walk. And you begin the walk by surrendering to Jesus as your Lord. And so I would ask you the same question that I asked you earlier on. Do you know Jesus as your Lord today? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus as Lord? If you haven't, then I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning. In just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond today. And if you're here and you would say, you know what, I haven't surrendered to Jesus as my Lord. I've never allowed Him to become the Lord of my life where I lay everything else aside and I follow Him and Him alone. If today you need to make that decision, then I would invite you to come. I'm going to be standing right down front as we sing. You can step out of your seat. You can join me down here. I'd love to talk with you and pray with you. Today you can know Jesus as your Lord. Now maybe you're here and you would say, you know what? I have made Jesus the Lord of my life. But you know, maybe if you look at your life, you would say, I haven't really been walking the walk. And today I need to make that commitment. That I wouldn't just talk the talk of a Christ follower, but that I would commit to actually living this out in my life. That I would commit to walking the walk each and every day. And so maybe you need to just recommit your life to Christ. I would invite you to respond as well. Now you might be here and you might say that you are a Christ follower, you've given your life to Christ, but you've never taken that next step of baptism to make your faith in Christ public through baptism, just like Hayden did this morning. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, make that commitment with you today to take your faith public. Now maybe you're here and you would say, you know what, I've given my life to Christ. I've already taken that step of baptism by immersion. I've been visiting First Baptist Church Stockdale, and I know that God is calling me to make this church my church home, to unite my life with this church body. If that's you, then I would invite you to respond as well. I'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and get you connected with this church body here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, in these final moments as we sing, this is your opportunity to respond. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.